Looks like you could use a cup of coffee.
Hey, Doug. Any seat in the house?
Had a good happy new year so far. Oh, yeah. Nothing special, but that's okay. We like it calm, peaceful.
Yeah, we're
Nothing out of the ordinary.
simple people. Living rather simple lives. Okay, we're going to get started. I think we've got everybody. We have a couple last minute arrivals, probably. Excuse me. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be experimenting a little bit on a new online setup so that. What I'm wanting to do is to get myself a little bit untethered from the desk where I'm sitting down. I love to be able to move around when I'm talking. So we'd like to be able to be set something up like that without sacrificing seeing the people online at home and without sacrificing any of your vision on one way or the other. So anyway, we might be doing some of that for the next couple of weeks or so, and if we are, just join in the fun. Let's take a minute, guys, and you can close your eyes if you like. You don't have to. It's just a little grounding exercise of taking a moment to breathe in, breathe out. For those of you who are here in person, it's getting a sense of being connected to all of those who are at home. And then, how about becoming aware of all beings, especially those who are consciously working as we are, to grow, to stretch, to become. To remember. And let our hearts be open to all that we are grateful for this day. And pray that we might be able to carry that gratitude with us as the day unfolds. As a link between last week and this week, I'd just like to read over a couple of things from last week's lesson. Almost feel like we could do that same thing over again, but I'd like to move forward as well. Everything you have, I'm on page 208, if you're following in the book. And if you're new here, by the way, and you don't have a book, that's okay. We read out loud from it anyway. But if you do have one, the one we're working on right now is called the Book of Mastery. And it is the, I believe it's the first book in the second trilogy. And for those of you who are here in person, if you have a question or a comment to make, we'd ask you to speak into the microphone and hold it up fairly close to your mouth so the people at home can hear you as well. We'd like to have everybody as involved as possible. And I am always grateful that you're here because it gives me the opportunity to do whatever it is that I'm doing. Because I'm not quite sure what that is sometimes either. But that's okay. Everything you may have known may now be witnessed from a higher vantage point. Nothing is as significant as you first thought it was. Love that line. That'd be a great fortune cookie, wouldn't it? Hey, John.
What page are we on?
Oh, we're on page 208.
Okay.
Now, if you invite yourself in this moment to perceive all these things about yourself, your own history, if you like, with the eyes of the Christ, you will illumine them all. Here is the teaching. Whatever I have done, whatever I have known myself as, all the things I have worried about and carried hard upon my shoulders, everything I have lifted in joy, everything I have laughed for and with, will now be lifted to the sight of the Christ. I see my history. I see who I have known myself as with the eyes of the Christ. I lift the vision of the life I have lived and attended to with the eyes of the Christ to meet me where I stand on this mountainside. I am perceiving myself now with the love that I hold for all mankind. I do not judge my actions. I do not fault my behavior. I see all I have been with the eyes of the divine. And even if you don't sense or think or feel that that's true for you, you make it true by repeating statements like that until they finally sink in. So this is not an exercise of saying, okay, well, I read that over, it's done. Nor is it a matter of saying, well, you know, I really don't feel that way, so I must be doing something wrong, or I'm not doing this right. Of saying, you know, if there's a speck of you, and I believe there is, you wouldn't be here. If there's a speck of you that resonates with the truth of that, allow that speck, allow that spark to grow every once in a while. Because there are going to be events in your life today, probably some joyful ones, that you're going to be able to relate to on that level of seeing with the eyes of the Christ. There might even be some painful ones. There might even be some memories that come up that need to be healed. And we have the ability right now to see all of those things differently if we choose to. It's not about emotionally getting connected with that. It's not about I feel this way. My feelings, my emotions are a whole different set of territory. I don't want to get into that right now, but you don't need to feel it in order to make it to be true. Suppose we said to ourselves, I don't feel like going to work today. We don't have a job very long. There have been times when I have been with people who I love, and yet I didn't feel like loving them at that particular moment. Does that mean I don't love them anymore? I just don't feel like it. The act of love or the openness to love is still there, even if my emotions are not caught up in that particular thing. So I'm not denying the emotional level of stuff. I'm just saying, please don't, this is my lesson. And if it's yours, fine. If it isn't, throw it away or leave it alone. But the lesson that I keep learning a lot is not to make my emotional state a definition for my spiritual state. They really have very little to do with one another. It's very nice when my emotional state and my spiritual state kind of line up together. I go, wow, that's really cool. But it doesn't happen all the time. And to use that as a judgment on yourself of maybe doing something wrong or not doing something right, I think is a rather ridiculous way of looking at things. So please, if this is helpful to you at all, do not allow your emotional state to define your spiritual state, because they are not the same thing. And even when you change your thinking of saying, well, I know if I change my thinking, then I'm going to change how I feel. That's true. But it's not going to happen instantaneously. So even though you change your thinking, doesn't mean your feeling is going to change immediately right after. Might take a day. Might take a week. Might take longer than that.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. Hey, Jim.
Hey, man. That just so resonates with me. I have a plethora of affirmations that I look at on a daily basis just to continue to open me up to that which that I connect with. Because for me at least, I've said it one time and I'll say it out loud, doesn't mean, sometimes, like you said, it's instantaneous, you know, but it has to be a continuum, mm-hmm. Of taking out an old thought and putting in this new thought, i.e. an affirmation, to let that just, you know, become like a new foundation for me. That's one. And the other thing, I apologize, we're getting in late, is that you said something maybe a few months ago, and it just resonated with me this entire week. And you said something, and I'm even paraphrasing, like, what if God were the only person, the only entity that understood you? Would you be good with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, when you first said that, I heard it. I wasn't really ready to receive it, but certain events have kind of happened. And I start to say, yes. And it's painful. To me, it's painful because you know, I'm like, how come they don't get me? How come they don't understand me? They, whoever they is. But again, going back to, if God were the only entity that understood me, could Jim be good with that? So that is what I'm kind of carrying. And it's challenging, man.
Mm-hmm. I think we're also relating to a quote that I used a couple of weeks ago from Thich Nhat Hanh, and I'm going to be paraphrasing this a little bit, but he said, the only way to, or the way to loving your enemy is by understanding them.
Mm-hmm.
And not understanding with the thinking mind, but in a sense to use that old proverbial thing of walking a mile in his moccasins, of knowing how did this person get that way? Could I turn into that person if the same things happen to me in my life? Could I be a Hitler? Could I be a Judas? See, I think that sort of expands the picture so much broader than it might have been in other times, of saying, you know, I probably could have been. That's not my life experience. I didn't sign up for that particular trip this time around, but I might have done that some other time. I guess another way of putting that is that one of the things that puts our relationships with other people in jeopardy, no matter who they are, is making judgments. Because as soon as I make a judgment, I separate myself from you. And I put you over there and me over here. And sometimes that's really, really difficult to put back together again. Anyway, thanks for that, Jim.
You know, Jerry, something that Jim said resonated with me, or even you said, even Judas, even Hitler, I add to it, even me. Mm-hmm. Even me. I'm included in all, you know, that can't, yeah. And so, but it says here that I believe that the Holy Spirit teaches me, so I'm fine with God's impression of me, because God, I am being taught. He is my teacher. And it says, I am perceiving myself now with the love that I hold for all mankind. And today, I didn't see that years ago. I didn't have that perception. They were separate from me. People were. But today, it's to hold a love for all mankind. And Jesus teaches me how to do that. And because I did it wrong or made mistakes before, that's what it took for me to be able to do that today.
Thank you, Diane. One of my favorite mm-hmm. visions of that is, so I know something that I know I've mentioned before. The school in Buddhism called the Mahayana, which is sometimes translated as being the big boat or the great vessel. And what the major philosophy behind it is that the boat doesn't leave until everybody's on it. There's no nirvana and there's no heaven until we all get there. I love that.
Jerry. Jerry. So I was listening to... I'm not sure how much we ever understand anybody else, or that anyone else ever understands us. And I was listening to a message this morning where someone was explaining a scripture, and he was talking about the one where Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?"
Mm.
And for the first time, I heard that in a different way, because he explained that in the original language, he was talking about the four different words that are used for love,
mm-hmm.
agape and others, and that the first time Jesus uses it, the first couple times Jesus uses that, he was using it in a different way. And Peter answers with a different word. Yes, I love you, in a different way, in using the word friendship for love. And finally, Jesus, the third time, says, okay, do you love me with friendship? And Peter says, yes, I love you with as a friend. And I was so struck by that, that, oh, my word. So the first couple times, and I didn't go back to listen to what did he mean the first two times. But he was talking, originally he was talking about worship. But I don't think that was what he meant by love the first two times. But the third time he says, okay, I will accept your love as a friend. And so how much understanding was there? But I will accept that. I will accept you on your terms at this point. And, you know, sometimes we just have to accept people where they are. And that I got shivers when I understood what was going on there. But even then, were those words enough to understand what was happening in that situation? Thanks.
Hey, John or Jerry,
yeah.
I really needed to hear that because I was having a spirited debate with my friend, good friend. And you'd mentioned, John, that now how many of us truly understand one another, each other, even if we feel that we're on the or similar paths or certain things resonate with us. But we were having this discussion that turned rather spirited between hope and belief. And again, it had to do, she said, well, Jim, you know, maybe folks just don't want to be right or just want to be good. Maybe they just don't care. And I forgot to breathe, Jerry, and I just kind of went on. I said, well, wait a minute, you know, well, hold on. And I said, well, to this person, I said, well, do you believe that we can change our experience and change our realities? I hope. She said, well, I said, well, that's not belief. Well, hope. I said, it's semantics. No, it's not. It's a different word. So anyway, it's just, I just like what John just said, meeting someone where they're at. Cause this is a girlfriend and, you know, and it's was challenging because it's, you know, I'm thinking like, well, are you just kind of connected to this teaching because I'm part of it and you have no interest in it? So it was disturbing to me. That's all.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I am willing to meet you where you are. I am willing to meet you where you are. We're all doing the best we can. If you realize that you're doing the best you can, so is everybody else. Might not look that way to your ideal of what they should be like. There's a big difference of what I think you should be like and where you're really at, because I don't know. Can you use the mic?
Oh, no. I'm going to say that singing got pretty loud while you were singing. Someone's been singing the whole time. Oh, they practiced.
Right. Is it on?
No, it's just...
Okay.
Our next door neighbors, right? Our noisy next door neighbors are getting ready for the service today. Get this. The majesty you see before you now. Look around you. The majesty you see before you now is simply the imprinting of the truth on all you have known. Your perceptions of what you have been in judgment or attributes, ways of claiming a self that we were taught to you. I see the life I have lived with the eyes of the Christ will support you in respecting the self that you have been and knowing in worth what she has known and been able to claim at the levels of consciousness that she has attended to, that he has attended to thus far. In simple terms, we're not throwing away your past life. We're saying we're looking at that differently instead of through the eyes of judgment or through the eyes of fear, through the eyes of revenge or whatever they might. I am I'm seeing this differently. I have the ability to see this differently. Paul is feeling a presence behind him as he stands on the mountainside, seeing the creations before him, the things he has known himself as, all of the labels we put on ourselves. You know, it's interesting. If I were going through my professional life, looking at the labels that were connected with that, it started off as being a teacher, being a high school teacher. Taught high school at St. X from 1967 to 74. 78, sorry. Then I started working as a counselor in a drug rehab place. Then I started working as a chaplain. Then I started working as a family therapist. Then I started doing individual therapy on my own outside of an institution. And all of these times I had stuff on my wall that defined me, who I was and what I was doing, make sure I was legal. I had stuff on my wall to make sure that was true. I had business cards with little letters after my name to make sure that was true. And it's interesting, in the last few years, since I've given up my private practice, I can't define myself as what I do anymore. So all of that stuff that was up on my wall is sort of gathering dust in a closet someplace. Saying, who are you? And you know, honest to God, I don't know. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's kind of funny. So all of those, and I'm not taking anything away from those labels. For me at that particular time, that was important. Boy, this is another piece of the story. This is earlier, but when I first got into recovery, I remember my first sponsor told me, he said, Jerry, I'd like you to do something. I'd like you to take all of those degrees off your wall, and put them in a box and put them in a closet. Forget about them for a while. I'll tell you when to put them back on the wall. What a marvelous piece of wisdom. Because that's not who you are. And don't use who you think you are, who you thought you were. Don't use that as something that gets in the way of your own spiritual growth. Because you don't have to. We support you now in your awareness. We acknowledge the pain in your lives. We are nodding our head in agreement with your fears. Yes, they have been so. Yes, they have been known by you. And we understand that the life you have lived thus far has been challenging, has been a challenging one in many ways. But as we see the life you have lived with the eyes of the Christ, in tandem with you, we bring light to all that has been you. It's all part of the dance. It's all part of the life we've chosen to live. It's all congruent with the lessons we have decided to learn this time around. There are no mistakes. Even in the physical world, a mistake is simply a piece of information I didn't have before. I wouldn't have done it if I knew what I knew now. What was that wonderful line from Pete Seeger? No, not Pete Seeger, Bob Seeger. I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. But I do know, right? And I have a choice today about either holding that in the light, even though it feels dark, even though it was a dark moment, holding that in the light, allow it to be healed, allow it to be part of the process, allow it to be part of the trip, allow it to be part of the journey. Imagine now that the vista before you, the life that you have lived thus far, all of the bumps, all the sunspots. Is shining brightly as being illumined by the Creator to be remade, to be remembered, put back together again in the highest way, to be claimed anew as one with its source. This is the truth. I see the life I have lived with the eyes of the Christ. I witness the life I have lived in my divine knowing of my true heritage. I am an aspect of the Creator manifested in form. I am here, I am here, I am here. We'll come back to that in our meditation this morning.
Hey, Jerry?
Yo.
Quick question. quick maybe statement. I've heard this a lot in terms of, it kind of goes back to what you just said about a couple of minutes ago. If I had known better, I would have done better. And I asked myself, would I?
Yeah.
I mean, cause, you know, because it, because when I hear that, that's easy, you know, I mean, that's, I don't know if it's a cliche or it's just a statement. If I had, would I? I mean, perhaps I would have, if I believed better, but if I had known better, maybe I would have done the same thing.
That's right. I mean, there have been times when I have, I wouldn't say deliberately screwed up my life, but maybe sometimes that's true. out of a sense of self-punishment. I mean, like, let's say I don't deserve to be loved as much as I am. So I think I'll find a way to push that away. I mean, we've all done that at some time in our lives, probably. I'll find a way to push it away. And then I stop after I've done that or even thought about doing that. I say, what the hell am I doing? But that's still doing the best I can do under those circumstances. I guess the important thing is to recall here that we always have a choice and that we are becoming more consciously aware of the choices that we have. That's part of our stretching. And you lift the life that you have lived thus far to be in union with the Creator. How can this be so, Paul asks? The life I have lived thus far has already happened. It wasn't very bright. It wasn't pretty. It took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to this moment in my life. You must understand, Paul, and of course this is for all of us as well. You must understand, Paul, that the Creator exists outside of time. And you are within time only as you perceive it. Time is a perception. It's a measure in the material world, but it's not necessarily the truth, with a capital T. So the action of the Creator may be present now and then, in what now and then, and in what will be. As a practical example of that, this book was written, let's see, so that's, 9 years from now? Now, does that mean that the lesson that the guys are teaching is 9 years old? Or they're reading from a book that's nine? Or is the experience of what we are working with right now, is it present here, right now, in this moment? It's not nine years away. It's now, it's present, it's focused, it's here, it's at this particular moment. I am here. I am teaching you. And if you were here 9 years ago, I'd be teaching you. If you're here 8 years ago, if you're here 7 years ago, and if you're here 15 years from now, and you pick up this book, we are with you. We are teaching, we are learning with you at this moment in time.
Gary.
Yeah.
all that we're reading today takes me back to the man on the bus.
And, okay. I remember.
It was a mistake. Yeah. You what?
I remember him.
You do? Okay. He happened in your life too? But anyway, that was 40 years ago. And I wasn't comfortable with myself the way I behaved, and I knew I'd made a mistake. It stayed with me. But it for 40 years, I didn't see that differently until I had another opportunity, the redo of seeing this person like with a third eye. It was just love. And it starts with me. Mm-hmm. Not others. All that other, everything I see is stuff. But if I bring it back to the center of love and God, that is what, for me, it's all about. And I think it happened to me when I saw that man mm-hmm. in the fruit store. He was getting the same thing, a sandwich. But I saw the beauty, the love.
Thanks, Sam. Glory.
That was from 40 years ago.
Still there. Glory, glory, glory is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. You know, that sounds very religious. Sounds like something you hear in church. And so what we're being asked to do is, what would it be like to say those words out loud or to resonate with those words in the highest spiritual sense of what they mean? Not having to do with church, not having to do with religion, but having to do with what resonates with your heart. We move outside of time and bring to bear the witness of the divine on all we see in all time. If it's sacred now, it'll be sacred 5,000 years from now. The landscape before you is transformed, and the life you know yourself as and through and in is being re-anointed in this awareness. What has been being lifted to the light, what will be lifted to the light, and as you stand before us, we claim you in our love. Somebody was asking a question last week, I think it was Diane, about the Christ. And essentially what the Christ means is the Christ means the anointed one. The one who has, the one who's made it. The one who realizes the truth of who he is. And then we're all on that journey. Paul is asking, I see it brightly. Am I here with you still? In other words, is this an illusion? Am I making this up? Do you ever have this happen to you? You have a, just for no particular reason at all, you just experience a joyfulness, heart opens, sense of gratitude, sense of love. And instead of enjoying that moment, I immediately flip into my mind and say, well, I wonder where that's coming from. And of course, as soon as they do that, it's like the bubble gets burst. Like, boom, it's gone, right? Instead of saying, oh, that's what it's like. That's what it's like to be the eyes of the Christ. No judgment, no fear, no baggage. I'm just in the exquisiteness of that moment. Paul is asking, I see it brightly. Am I still with you? Am I just making this up? Am I still here? Is this still the truth? We are with you always. The divine as you, in all of you, is always in consort with the manifestation it may know itself through, and not one of you is alone. Trust this, please. On the darkest night, We are with you, and we know who you are. God. I feel like if I remember that. In the darkest night, we are with you, and we know who you are. Jesus said many times, I will never leave you alone. And I always thought that that statement had two meanings, at least. One is the obvious one. I'm always with you. Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. But the other one is, I will never leave you alone. I will keep poking and prodding you. I will keep popping back into your life until you realize the truth of who you are. So don't think I'm going to stop. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, no matter what definitions you've held on to, no matter what guilt or shame you might still be holding on to, I'm going to love you because you are simply who you are. And I'm going to keep doing that until you are able to do that to yourself.
I believe that to be the case as well, Jerry. You know, it's just like boom, 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 you know.
That was very good, Jim. Thanks, man. Let me do one more paragraph and then we're going to do our meditation. Now the landscape is fading before Paul. It is disappearing into the ethers. And what is left is simply the knowing that whatever has been recreated or re-anointed in its awareness of the divine. We take your hand now. We take all your hands now, and we lead you up the path that lights its way. So the external experience is no longer there. But the internal experience of that awareness stays if you choose to hold on to it, if you choose to let it be. It's like when Peter, James, and John, Jesus took them up to the top of the mountainside and did the transfiguration thing, where his garments were white as snow and his face shone like the sun. That was an experience. And once the experience was done, it was sort of like, okay, come on, we got to go back down to earth. We got work to do. We have work to do, but you don't have to lose touch with that inner experience of the divine that you have seen and that has been a reflection of who you are. So even though the feelings might not be there, the emotional charge might not be there, and even though the external experience itself might not be there in the physical world, it's still right there. It exists within you. Not just within your physical body, not just in your memory. Because how many times have we relied on this? I know I have. Let's say we call it remembering a past event that might have been joyful or happy or meaningful in our lives. And we get a little bit of a buzz with that. But it's more than just a memory. It's re-experiencing something that already exists within you. And we can re-experience that again, 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 again. And you can't wear it out. The mind says, oh, we better not do that too often. You're going to wear it out. Because it's not of the mind. It's not of the thinking mind. It's of the inner experience. I know what it is like to be loved. And I can go to that experience again and again and again and again, and it's never going to wear. Okay, I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down for a minute. Take a couple of breaths. Close your eyes if you like. And allow yourself to soften open, relax, let go of any hardness, resistance. And just allow yourself to settle in to your sacred space. And imagine yourself standing on a hillside, metaphorically, looking back on this vista of your life, with its valleys, its peaks, rivers, streams, dark spots. Without judgment, reminding yourself or saying to yourself or listening to yourself saying, all of this is part of why I'm here. Even the dark times, even the difficult times, even the mistakes that I think I've made. Even the times when I have been deliberately harmful towards myself. Even the times when I have not loved others as I could have or think I should have. As Ram Dass says, it's all grist for the mill. And in this present moment, standing on this mountainside, and I affirm for myself, I am free, I am free, I am free. I am loving, I am loving, I am loving. My heart is open in gratitude. My heart is open in love. My heart is open in strength as I take this next step forward. To heal, to grow, to transform. Allow your consciousness now to come back to the rhythm of your breathing. Experiencing yourself being fully back into your body, sitting in a chair in this room or in your living room. And when you're ready to, you can take another deep breath. Stretch a bit and open your eyes. Thank you all. I hope you have a great rest of the week. See you soon. If you ever have any questions or difficulties or stuff you'd like to talk about, feel free to email me or get in touch other ways, and we will work with what we got. Okay? Have a good week, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. And everyone.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Thanks, Margo.